Praise God, my brother, my sister. Thank you for tuning in. It's a great pleasure to have you. This is Spirit and Life. John chapter 6, verse 63. Jesus told his disciples that the flesh counts for nothing, but the Spirit gives life. And the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. And this is a channel that we just use to share God's word, to do Bible studies. And I pray that you'll be blessed by it, and that you'll be able to be a part of it, and come in with your questions, concerns, and prayer requests. And by the faith, we shall bring them to the throne of God. Yeah, and so we've been doing a study on faith, a faith series, and looking at Hebrews chapter 11, and just looking at what is faith, you know. And we started with the onset of the definition, where we looked at faith being, you know, the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed, you know, of things that are hoped for. And we looked at this hope as not just being any kind of hope, but that which is that hope in God, hope in the spiritual, hope in that those things that are not seen using our physical senses or eyes, but those that are seen using our spiritual eyes, spiritual senses, and our trust in God. And that which is divinely guaranteed is that which God has spoken. You know, there are things that man can take away from you, but there are things that you have heard from God. There are things that God has spoken in his word. There are things that God has revealed. Those are the things that no one can take, no matter the trials, no matter the situations. You know, no matter the persecutions, that which God has spoken, the words that he has spoken, the faith that he has given us, the things that he has revealed to us, those are ours. And that's the reality of God, that faith focuses on the God, on the God kind of vision, you know, the God kind of understanding, the God kind of revelation, the God that calls things that are not as if they were. You know, God just said, let there be light, and there was light. The God who creates nothing. You know, he creates out of nothing. You know, when people do inventions, they create things, or rather they design things from already available raw materials. And that's the difference between man and God. God creates out of nothing. He gives hope, you know, he gives life, he creates bodies, he creates spirit, he creates time, he changes situations, he raises, you know, kings out of dust, out of slaves. God transforms they that are not to be something. And that is why not, you know, the Bible tells us, think of what you are when you are called. Not many of you are wise or by human understanding. But God calls the things that are not, the weak things, the ugly things, to despise, you know, the wise, to despise those who are strong, to despise the rich, so that no one may boast. And indeed, when it comes to God, no one can boast. And so today we shall carry on with our series, and today we shall start focusing on Abraham. And this will be from Hebrews chapter 11, from verse 8, and we shall go up to, you know, to the transgeneration, up to 22, where we'll talk about Joseph, and before we transition into Moses. And you know, Abraham is the father of faith, and that is not without reason. It is because he is a clear demonstration of faith in God, and we're going to see the various reasons why Abraham is actually considered the father of faith. And by that, him being the father of faith, we as believers, when we have faith, we become children of Abraham. And by virtue of being children of Abraham, we are heirs of the same promise that Abraham was given by God through faith in Christ Jesus. And that is a great blessing, because the blessings of Abraham was immeasurable. You know, God told him, I will bless you, I'll make your name great, you know, I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And, you know, I'll give you descendants as numerous, and I will make your name great. God promises to Abraham are also our promises. Let us pray even as we carry on. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for an opportunity to look into your word. I pray that you may bring it to life, O God, that we may hear from you, that we may receive that which you have promised for us. I thank you for my listener, O God. I pray against any distractions of the enemy, that, Lord, you shall meet them at their points of need. You know their desires, you know their needs, and you know the things that they're counting on from you, O God. And I know that you're able to provide by faith, O God. And we pray for the obedience that comes to your word, that you may help us to hear you, God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. So I want us to read Hebrews chapter 11, and from verse 8 we'll read. It says, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he will later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. I'm actually going to be pausing verse by verse, because I feel it's important at times to just reflect on statements that come out on the faith of Abraham. You know, Abraham was called by God. His family were moon worshippers. You know, they were the Chaldeans, and the Chaldeans were known for moon worship. So God calls Abraham out of that, and he tells him, leave your father's household, leave their gods, leave the land, and go to a place I will show you. You know, many of us would want God to show us first where he's taking us. But you see, the faith in Abraham was seen in his obedience to the voice of God, his obedience to put his trust in God, the God who appeared to him, the God who was different from the gods of his parents. His faith was to go to a place that God will show him. And many times God calls us to go. He calls us to obey. He calls us to follow him. At times it is not clear where it is that he's taking us. And that is a journey of faith. That's why the Bible tells us that we live by faith, not by sight. Not by what we can see physically or touch. But we trust in God. It's just like when you trust in God that what he has spoken shall come to pass. You can have assurance for tomorrow. And that's why one of the singers says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And I assure you, because God lives, you can face tomorrow. You can face today. You can face the future. Your trust is in the unchanging power of God. That because it is he who is leading you, he is faithful. You know, when God calls us to go, he never forces anyone. He gives us a choice. I mean, Abraham had the opportunity to go back. He had the opportunity to return. He could have said, no, show me first. But he obeyed God. Obedience. Isaiah 1 verse 18 tells us that if you are willing and obedient, then you shall eat the good of the land. Obedience is very important to God. And I love the way it says, if you are willing and obedient, that means there are people who obey grudgingly. Yes, they're obedient, but as a slave, the willingness is not there. But God tells us that if you are willing and obedient, then you shall eat the good of the land. The willingness speaks to the heart, to the state of the heart in our obedience. What is the state of our heart? In our giving, what is the state of our heart? In our sacrifice, in our prayer, what is the state of our heart? In our worship. You know, God condemned the Israelites and said that these people worship me in vain. They worship me with their lips. They offer lip service, but their hearts are far away from me. Yes, they were obeying the covenant of God given through Moses, but their hearts were far away. When we come to God, God looks at our willingness. He looks at our heart. He looks at our desires. He examines our motives. He judges the attitudes of our heart. And that is why they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Truth is critical. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And this is what Saul was told. Saul was told, go and kill the Amalekites and kill all the animals and everything. But he spared the king Agag. He spared the fat animals because they were not willing to kill them. And when he was asked, he said, no, we spared them for sacrifices. And God told them that obedience is better than sacrifice. And rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. My brother, my sister, if God has spoken for you, and you're sure and you know it, and you know through his word that what he has spoken, this is the right way, it will do you well to obey. And it's okay not knowing where God is leading you. It is okay. Many times God will not show us the final destination. Why? Because if he shows us the journey, many of us will run away. You know, the beauty of God is that he has promised he will be with us each and every step of the way. Not necessarily that he will reveal everything, no. But his assurance is that he will walk with us. And Abraham obeyed God. By faith, when called to go to a place he will later receive as in his inheritance. Wow, I love that word, inheritance. You know, maybe you come from a place where there's no inheritance for you. The world has nothing for you. There's nothing by your parents. But there's a heritage, there's an inheritance that is beyond silver and gold, that is beyond the tangible things that will be eaten by moths. Land disappears, money finishes, houses can be destroyed in an earthquake or bombs and war. Everything that you have that you think is valuable in a day can be lost. But there are things that are divine, and that is the things that God gives. That is his inheritance. Verse 9, by faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents as this Isaac and Jacob, who are heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. You know, the amazing thing when you think of this is, and the Bible tells us that they lived in the promised land like strangers. Can you believe it? God has promised them the promised land. He took Abraham and he told him, walk the entire length and breadth of the land. See this, I give you and your descendants. They will be as numerous as the stars and as countless as the sand on the seashore. And yet they lived as tents, as strangers, as foreigners. If you have been a foreigner, I have been a foreigner. Foreigners will never have much attachment to the land where they are. Yes, they may want to make investments, they may want to build, they may want to, you know, to be stable, but they know it's not their home. It's not permanent. They're thinking of their country. They're thinking of that place that's where they will not be chased by police, you know, or harassed, or asked for identification cards or refugee cards. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they lived in the promised land as strangers. The land was wicked. The people on the land were wicked. They did their own thing. They worshipped their own gods. And that is why they separated themselves. You see, faith is seen in their actions. Faith is seen in their separation. Their sight was not on where they were. God had promised them a city whose builder and architect is God. Can you imagine that city, that foundation? Revelation describes it of glass. You know, it's like a glass city where the streets are gold and there is no more crying, no more tears. Pillars of different minerals and majestic beauty. That is a place that God has prepared for everyone who believes in Him. And that is why all these men of faith were looking forward to that city. And God did not give them that because He was waiting for us. And I tell you, that new Jerusalem that we are all looking forward to, there is no more crying, no more hunger, no more pain, no more tears. It's a beautiful place that the Lord has prepared for us in Him, that we shall have fellowship with Him, and in Him shall be our light. The Bible says, and outside shall be the dogs, those mutilators of the flesh, those workers of immorality, those who do witchcraft, the fearful, the cowardly. I pray that you shall not be found outside that city. May God help you and me to look forward to that inheritance, to look forward to for our eyes to be open to see that place that God has prepared for us. And Jesus said to His disciples, allow me to go. If I go, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. God has a place for each and every one of us who believe in Him. And so do not look at your present body. In fact, the Bible tells us that let our eyes not be on the temporary things, on this tent that we shall soon put away. Maybe the tent that you have, the body that you have now is one that is ridden with cancer, ridden with pain, ridden with sorrow. But the Bible says, let us fix our eyes on that which is eternal. Because that which we can see is temporary. But that which is eternal, that which you cannot see is eternal. And that is what God has prepared. And so we see by faith, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they were heirs of the promise. And one of the things that we see is that the promise of God was transgenerational. And that's the beauty of God. He does not just focus on us. But He looks at our coming children. He looks at the children after them. He desires that the same faith be passed on. And that's why when we read, when God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, He said to Himself, can I surely hide from Abraham what I'm going to do? Because Abraham will be a great nation. Because I have chosen him, because he will teach his children and his children after me to follow after my ways. And so God gives us the criteria that why He chose Abraham, because Abraham had the capacity to train his family members and those after him and everyone after his household to go after God, to chase after God. And for sure, he did that. And that is why we see Isaac and Jacob were heirs of the same faith. They all believed in God. They all trusted in God. They all had their own encounters by faith. They knew the faith of their father. And that is why the Israelites still call Abraham their father. Father of faith. Let us go on. Verse 11. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. This was an impossible situation, my brothers, my sisters. Abraham was 75 years old when he was called, and God told him, I mean, leave, I'll make you into a great nation, I'll bless you. And he goes, he obeys God. But his wife was barren. Sarai was barren. And yes, at some point they decided, you know, in the 85, 86, they decided to help God by getting a child through Hagar. Yes, they doubted. But you see, God in his mercy still remembered his promise to Abraham. And when he was 99, and I believe it was a point where they had got to the point of surrender. You know, at times, the reason that we delay our blessings, God has never been limited in giving us our blessings. At times, God will wait. I mean, you know, God is an immortal. He will wait. Time to him is nothing. So it is you to get on schedule with God's time. So Abraham maybe still had confidence in his flesh. Sarai maybe did not have faith until that point. But the Bible says that Abraham considered his body as good as dead. That means he got to the place where he considered his body as good as dead. He was enabled. When he was 99, God came and told them that surely I will come at the appointed time this year, and Sarah will have a child. And Sarah, who was listening at the side of the tent outside, laughed in her heart. She said, surely will I have the joy of being a mother? Will I have the joy of giving birth? And yet my master is finished, is also gone. And God asks, but why did you laugh? And she said, I did not laugh. But God said, you did. See, God knows, and he knows everything. But you see, the Bible tells us that Sarah was enabled, even though she herself was barren, was enabled to become, you know, Abraham and Sarah to become a father, because he considered whom faithful, who made the promise. Have you considered who has given the promises? Have you considered that it is God who gives his promise? Have you considered it is God in his word who has spoken? You know, we value the words of men who are trustworthy. Like if the world's richest man, be it Bill Gates or whoever it is, says that he will be your friend and that he will sponsor you. Okay, he says it publicly. He will sponsor you through university. Because of the capacity and because of your knowledge of the capacity of his pockets or of his bank account, then you can have some assurance. Let's say 99%. Why 99? Because human beings can change their minds. Things can happen. The man can die. And anyone who puts his trust in man is cursed. That's what the scriptures tell us. But because we know the capacity, like let's say a millionaire tells you that, take this 10,000, or borrows you 10,000 and tells you I will repay, you have no doubt that he will repay. Now, if we put our trust in men, or let's say even getting on a flight, you put your trust in the makers of the aeroplane and in the pilot and in the servicing, that it has been conditioned that yes, it is okay, it will go up and come down. At times we don't even think how we exercise faith in our normal lives. But when it comes to God, you will have to believe in Him. The Bible tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because he that comes to God, he that comes to Him, must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's Hebrews 11, verse 6. For you to come to God, you must believe that God is and He exists, and that He is a rewarder. So Sarah was enabled to conceive because she considered God faithful. They considered the one who made the promise. She considered this man who, you know, God came in the form of man with his two friends and the two angels. And he considered that this God that has spoken is faithful. May we not delay our own blessings with using our unbelief. May we not delay our own blessings going and trying to do things in our own way, in our own capacity. At the appointed time, God will come. Yes, it may look like it has delayed in the natural, but the things with God, once He has spoken, consider it done. Consider it done, my brother, my sister. Consider it done. God has spoken, it shall come to pass. And He's speaking even now. He's awakening your faith. He's reminding you of things that He has promised. Oh, He's a faithful God. Do not count on your own strength. Abraham and Sarah were enabled. And maybe it is you're trusting God for a child. I tell you, it might take 6 years. It might take 7 years. It might take 10 years. It might take 20 years. But there is a God in heaven. And He is able to enable. He is able to do that which doctors have given up on. He will do it. And may God do it for you in Jesus' name. And so from one man, he as good as dead, came descendants as countless as the sand on the seashore. God is a God of multiplication. His math is not our math. 1 plus 1 to God is 1. God calls Abraham the father of nations. He gives birth to one son, Isaac, and that is nations. He gives birth to Ishmael, and God said, I will make him 12 nations through his son. And on in other sons of Abraham that came after that through Keturah, father of nations. God, a miracle working God, God of multiplication. I'll stop there at verse 12 today, and God willing, tomorrow we shall carry on from verse 13, and we shall look at those who are living by faith and the test of Abraham. The test of faith. Your faith will be tested. Faith is seen in actions. By what you do, we will know your faith. Not just by your words, not just by your believing in your heart, by the experience of your actions. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to look at the father of faith, to look at the life of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to look at the transgenerational blessings that you had for him and his household, O God. I thank you that you're God who calls things that are not as if they were, a God that brings dead things back to life, O God, a God that does the impossible, that enables them that count on you. I thank you that you never fail, and you won't start today, oh God. I honor you. I bless your name. Thank you for my listeners, that you may activate their faith. You may help them. And you may give them grace. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray and believe. Amen. God bless you. See you again, as the Lord wills. Bye.